T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, my boss.
And sugar hander outer.
And sugar hander, well, sugar taker awayer.
Oh, dun 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 dun. Yeah. That doesn't sound that friendly.
It's not very nice.
Let's listen to you cry.
Yeah.
Do
I'm
it.
Crying on the inside. Actually, I'm crying on the outside.
She can cry on cue. It's not a big deal.
I'm an actress.
Uh-huh. Act it up.
Yeah. So, to my left, you can't see it, but I have Hottie Patati Schmidt here today, Will.
I'm just going by my last name now. Like
yeah,
high
you're
school.
Just Schmidt.
What's up, Schmidt?
What's up?
Like, have you seen that movie, What About Schmidt?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you gotta see it. Kathy Bates gets totally naked in it.
Really?
Just so you want
to.
In the hot tub. All right, so today we have a topic that all you women, myself included, and there's a couple of men out there I've noticed. What's up with cellulite?
Yeah, what's up with cellulite?
Yeah, cellulite, you're pissing me off is actually the topic.
So we'll be taking your calls to find out what is the deal with cellulite.
Yeah.
And go ahead and call in now.
Yeah, we've got our phone line set up. They're ringing off the wall.
Nobody's calling, so I guess we'll just make up stuff ourselves.
I wonder how many of those panels were actually like real blinking lights, or they were all just like, you know, props with like red... Like
and people that call in from the radio station and change their name. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't really have any phones if you're trying to dial right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no phones here. And plus, you'll be dialing into the future, which will be the past by the time you hear it.
Right.
It's trippy.
So, okay, if you have not liked us on Facebook, you're like the only person in America who hasn't. So go ahead, stop whatever you're doing, go to Kick It in the Nuts, like us. That's where we post all our show topics and questions that you want to ask, you can ask, or you can even give us some ideas for show topics because we're running out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're done. Next week is Legos. I really like Legos.
Maybe we can do some cuticles.
We'd love to keep it health related, so if you throw us a bone.
But if not, the space Legos on the new Star Wars series is a lot of fun. We'll probably just cover that.
So, the cellulite.
Okay, we'll
what
talk
the
about
hell?
It.
Why?
Let's talk about it. Why do we got to have it? Why don't we get right into questions? Because I think that this is a lot. This is one of those topics to where, like, if you do you know what tinnitus is? I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but it's like a ringing in the ears.
When you play tennis?
Yeah. No, not tendonitis. No. Tinnitus is ringing in the ears, and. What I see a lot with that is that when people come to me for help and we fix
it's
a few things.
In their ears.
Yeah, they do that. Bells in their ears. But if we fix a few things, it just kind of stops. And the main thing that we fix is digestion when this happens. And I've seen this 6 or 7 times and I have no idea why it helps it. I have no idea why after someone's had this ringing for years that it will just stop. And when we get into cellulite, it's going to be similar because there's some things that we're going to explain. There's some theories that we're going to explain and we're going to explain some things that we see people do when it improves. But I have no idea really why it improves because some of the things that make sense to me sometimes don't. Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel about it. Mm. But I think that some things, some bells are going to go off.
In your ear.
In your ear.
And you'll think it's tennis.
And you'll have
it's really
tennis,
just a good idea.
Right. Okay, so let's just go right into questions and we'll kind of talk about that.
Alicia, cellulite is a bumpy road for us women. Ah, good one, Alicia. Meg, where does it come from? I say hell. Peggy, Honolulu, Hawaii, why don't men have to deal with this? I have seen a couple of men have it.
It seemed to upset you.
It did, because it's not normal or natural, in my opinion.
And some men can have it. And one misconception is that most people view it as that it's an obesity thing. It's when you're overweight or a specific part of your body has a lot of extra body fat.
Skinny women have it all the time.
But yeah, it's a lot of skinny women have it all the time. And we talk a lot about skinny fat on the show, I think.
I just laugh when I see a skinny woman with cellulite. I'm like, ha ha. She got something. She got something.
You ain't fat, but
yeah.
You ain't got it.
Yeah, so it is common when someone is overweight, but it's almost just as common with someone that is not overweight. So it doesn't have to be a excess body fat situation. And we'll get into that a little bit. But just to kind of introduce what we're looking at when we see cellulite, what happens is there's these fibrous cords or bands. This is going to be hard to explain on the radio, but we're just going to pretend. But there's these bands that go between muscle and skin. So if you look at, you know, like right under your epidermis, which is the outer part, is your dermis, and that's like another layer of your skin. And then under that are like layers of fat, and then below that are muscles and stuff. So connecting from the muscle up to that layer of your skin is like this little cord. So think of it like you're looking into a jail cell, like somebody's in jail, and the floor is like muscle, and the bars that keep them in that jail cell are the bands, are the cords, and then the roof is your skin. So if you picture it like that, in this jail cell that we're talking about, you would have, I don't know, a bunch of beach balls or something that would represent fat. And that layer of fat should be there, and we all have that there. But what happens is if there's excess fat in there, it can like push on the ceiling. If you had all these beach balls in there, you would push on the ceiling, but everywhere where there was a bar, that ceiling would be a little bit lower because it's still connected to that bar. And then all around that bar, the beach balls will be pushing up, and that kind of creates that dimpling visual effect where it looks like the skin of an orange, or people, you know, there's cottage cheese, you know, whatever they say. There's a dimpling effect that goes on. And that's kind of what creates it, is the excess fat pushing up when the fibrous bands are kind of pulling down. So we'll get into some kind of ins and outs of what's going on when that happens, but that's kind of like a visual to understand, okay, why does it dimple up and why isn't it just smooth fat?
And most men don't have it because they don't have the fat that women have, because women have more fat on their bodies.
Well, one thing is that layer, actually both layers of the skin with men tend to be thicker, both the epidermis and the dermis. And so if you think about the ceiling of that jail cell, I don't know why I'm doing jail cells so much.
Yeah. It could be an office, like an office
space. I feel like I'm in jail here.
So, but if that layer was thicker and, you know, stronger, then it would be harder to push it up, so to speak. So
actors
with that dimpling,
typically have a thicker layer of skin because they have to.
Because they have to, since you get rejected so much. So you think that that would wipe out cellulite
in the industry, but...
No, it just wipes out the actors that can't.
right. They just become plumbers. Okay, so that's one reason that a lot of people believe that a lot of guys don't deal with it. Is just because the places where cellulite shows up the most, the skin there tends to be thicker, which it makes sense that it, not that it's just unfair or something that guys' skin is thicker, but, you know, there's different things in the body from men to women. We have different parts. You probably knew about that.
Yeah.
But
what do you mean?
But there's also things that have to do with reproductive systems for
hormones,
females.
Hormones, estrogen, or anything,
you know,
like
stuff
that.
Like that could play. But, it, you know, like women have fat around organs that, you know, men don't have. It's like this protective layer that, you know, so there's things in male and female bodies that are just different. And this is just one of those things that happens. There wasn't a meeting about it where they decided.
Why do men have it all great and women have it all poopy? I don't get it.
Because we're men, and that's what we were hoping that it would go that way.
It's a man's world.
Yeah, it is a man's world.
But
Patricia Arquette.
One thing that's fun is that, you know, people didn't know this before, but we generally know now that as a gender, guys are kind of dumber.
Yeah.
it's just turning out to be that way. We didn't think that was the case for a long time, but it just turns out.
They're stronger physically, but dumber.
But kind of dumb, and I'm fine with that.
We can also look at, like, the not just whether you're a guy or a girl, but also just hormones in general. And the hormones that tend to be more abundant in females, like estrogen, can also be overly abundant in a male. Mm-hmm. And you'll see, like,
men with man boobs.
Right. For example, like really bodybuilders heavy. Who take steroids and they don't do it right, where like the testosterone goes through aromatase and turns into estrogen, and they develop adipose tissue in stereotypically female deposits like man boobs and that kind mm-hmm. of thing. So we can see that occur not just from being female, but from like the hormones that typically are associated with being a female, which can happen to a male, but that also empowers you if you start to look at, like, all right, the different things that you can do to sort of balance your hormones as a woman and minimize the stresses of estrogen and insulin and things like that to help preserve your cellular integrity. Because those female hormones are, they're oftentimes misunderstood. And one of our favorite thinkers, Ray Peet, says a lot about this, about estrogen being misunderstood. Is it's not just like a good female hormone that just needs to be there when you're very womanly. He categorizes estrogen as a stress hormone that your body releases for tactical purposes. But there's a lot of things in our diet and our environment,
like sugar, probably.
Sugar's one, but also like the imbalance of amino acids we get in our diet, like not enough glycine and too much tryptophan, can elevate things like the stress hormones like serotonin and estrogen and cause degradation to the integrity of the collagen making up our skin. So we can see, like, at the cellular level, the impact of that deformity and weakness of collagen coming from energy deprivation and not having available fuel and cellular integrity because of the stress hormones that are overly active.
So let's dig into that a little bit before we do other questions, because that's going to be a big point here, is the whole collagen situation in our skin. So we have to look at two factors when we're digging into this, because number one, okay, so we've established that women get cellulite more than men because their skin is thicker. But that in itself can vary greatly from woman to woman for a lot of different reasons. And one of those reasons could be that the lack of consuming foods that contain collagen, or the ability to digest those foods and break those down into usable nutrients that contain collagen.
Yeah.
Say words about that.
Yeah. So in our modern diet, we have, especially in America, have very few foods that are rich in the amino acids that help us make healthy collagen. So we don't eat a lot of bone broth soups. So we don't eat a lot of like weird animal parts like chicken feet and fish head and that kind of thing. We don't do that. And instead, we have mostly like flesh proteins or weird plant proteins that we think are healthy.
Right.
So we're super, super deficient in the most needed amino acids in our body, which the most important one being glycine, which makes up most of collagen, which makes up most of your body as far as proteins are concerned. So when we don't have nearly as much glycine, we're still eating protein, but we're usually eating it from, like, if you're eating a lot of like flesh foods, then you're usually getting a lot of tryptophan and cysteine, which promote estrogen, which promotes the stress situation and weakens the collagen. Or you're eating a lot of plant foods that are almost completely deficient of glycine.
Right, because, you know, veganism, vegetarianism, it's very popular now. Like, yeah. You know, you see movies like Forks Over Knives or something, which was actually sponsored by an organization named Let's Have Cellulite. Because, but, you know, so we're taught that, oh, you have to stop eating animal foods, and it's just killing you, and you have to be a vegan. And so everybody switched over, and oops. You know, and I was one of those people that switched over. Will was one of those people that switched over until we found out that we were in the wrong camp, and we snuck out very, very quietly.
Yeah.
But it's important to get those nutrients. And, you know, 100 years ago, when there was an animal that was cooked, they took off the parts they were going to eat, but then they put everything else in that big pot and they made that soup and they cooked it for a couple of days, and it pulls all of those, you know, that gelatin and all the collagen, all that good stuff, all those cofactor amino acids that are found in those animal proteins. And by pulling it into a soup like that, it makes it very easy to assimilate. So even if someone doesn't have great digestion, they could get all of those when it was leftover Thursday and you were eating that soup that had all the carcass in it.
Yeah.
We don't do cool soups anymore.
No. And if you're a woman...
Now soup is like alphabet soup. Right. That's all you get is like carbohydrate noodles in the shape like letter C.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's really helpful to target aesthetic motivations for people because this can help them get out of the band camp of like a vegan or vegetarian diet. It's like, well, I'm...
Work on their vanity. You know,
right.
You know, do you
really
want to be prettier?
Really committed to not killing animals, but I hate cellulite even more than that. So, but for overall health reasons, I have rarely, maybe once in one person's chemistry that I helped look at, saw a healthy long-term vegan. Like most of them are very deficient in nitrogen. And yes, it's true, you can get all the different amino acids from combinations of plant proteins. But no, it's not true that you can get them in the ideal ratios. You can't do that in the
right
world.
And it's not something that just a B12 shot can fix. There's cofactors and other things in there that are important. And anytime we mention the word vegan, I like to suggest, hey, listen to our episode on vegan and vegetarian stuff, because we do point out the benefits that people experience when they switch over and why things can go better initially and then what can happen later on. And we explain why people never think, oh, it's because I was on a vegan diet, because the first couple of weeks they felt better. And we explain all that stuff and we explain the mistakes that we made when we did that. So don't just think that we're bashing something just for fun, even though it's a little bit fun.
It's pretty fun.
But listen to that episode, especially if you are a vegan, and we talk about the fact that if you're vegan because of ethical or religious reasons or something like that, we don't want you to switch over, because that's a whole nother, you know, if you...
So keep your cellulite.
Just be happy
your
with it and be fine.
I mean, but even if you are committed, there's things you could learn to do with supplementation, like taking glycine, that you could help in some ways balance.
Yeah, and even like if you are, I mean, like, you're not killing an egg, you know what I mean?
Well,
I don't...
Then it's a whole...
I don't know. I think they could have eggs. They get really impassioned.
It's a whole debate, yeah.
Right.
They scare me, vegans.
But if I have a vegan who's willing to eat eggs, I'm happy.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that's good enough. I'm fine with that. Mm. But back to cellulite. Well, let's see where we're looking. Is it time for a commercial break?
It might be. And remember when we didn't have a sponsor? Well, that was silly. So now Audible.com is giving all of our listeners a free audiobook of their choice just when we say Audible.com.
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 So now three people can get one.
Yep. To find the link, go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. And guess what? Kick Your Fat in the Nuts is on audiobook now.
Oh, and you can get it for free.
You can get it for free. You can listen to it. It's not my lovely voice or Tony's. It's somebody else that we don't know.
We've never even met him. But he did a great job.
Probably from India or something, you know.
Is it in an Indian accent?
No,
yeah, that would be awesome. I should have done that. That would have been fantastic.
Like a Lakota Indian,
yeah.
I meant.
Uh-huh. Like you're just calling tech support or something.
So, yeah. But it's a good, fancy book.
That's cool.
I like it. I had to read it a bunch.
Uh-huh. So let's go back to another thing that Will was saying, though, before, now that we're back from our commercial break, I think, is what happened.
Yeah.
I'll stop my commercial voice now.
Yeah, so one of the problems is that if a person's not getting enough collagen into the system and all those cofactors that their body needs to build that skin so that it can be strong and vigorous, whatever you want to call it. But another issue is that when someone's not bringing in enough nutrients, maybe their digestion is not fully breaking food down into nutrients, or the food that they're eating is piss poor and doesn't contain much nutrients, either of those issues, what will happen is the body will still need those nutrients and it will start to shop from you. Like you're the 7-Eleven that your body is shopping from, and it will break down tissue in order to pull nutrients out that are needed for all kinds of other functions.
Yeah.
So it's different for every person where the body decides to pull tissue out of, like when the body needs protein, it pulls it out of the lungs a lot of time. But some people may have nutrients pulled out of those skin area type tissues more than others because, you know, we've changed. It's not, you don't need to have such thick skin so much. You're not tackling cougars to make dinner anymore. You might get a paper cut or something, but you know, we're not like we used to be. So maybe the body has adapted in a good way that, hey, I'll take some nutrients out of here because that's not so important, since the person's probably going to need their lungs.
Yeah. And there's probably a lot of other places it's drawing from as well on the inside, like osteoporosis type symptoms could be coming from deanimation of the skeletal system for resources, and that you may find that occurring also, like if you're accumulating cellulite, look at your bone density levels and see, like, you may have very elevated blood calcium levels from that going on.
We're going to talk about that too. That's going to be a big one that we kind of, I really have a thing about that.
Yeah.
I think I'm fancy because I think this, so we're just going
to
talk about
cool.
it.
Later. I think I have a fancy thing to say.
Okay,
about
good,
we'll save
good.
It. But yeah, you
boys
also,
both, you both have fancy things.
Thanks.
Okay,
oh,
good.
Okay,
fun.
Okay. But we also, are we going to mention vitamin C?
Let's mention vitamin C.
Vitamin C.
Good job,
so,
Kenna.
If you're depleted of vitamin C, which a lot of people can be because maybe they're not eating it on a regular basis, or maybe you're eating something that's depleting you of vitamin C, like too much sugar or you smoke or something like that. And it's like there's a lot of things that can make your body use up the vitamin C that it has. And that's a problem because without vitamin C, you can't form healthy collagen. And if you are dealing with cellulite, you want to do everything you can to strengthen your collagen. So you got to get a regular source of a whole food natural form of vitamin C. Like it's different than, say, like the emergency packets. So it's just ascorbic acid.
Right.
In the real world, nature made vitamin C as this complex thing that's like 12 different cofactors. And one of those things is ascorbic acid, which we use sometimes to lower urine pH. But you need the whole food form source. So you can get that from like acerola cherry or camu camu. Those are very high vitamin C, low sugar sources, and other natural like citrus fruits have vitamin C also. But vitamin C is essential for the cross-linking of the collagen amino acids to occur. So without that cross-linking, the vitamin C is just mushy mesh. You can just punch through.
And what happens, let's say that you're using emergency for some ignorant reason, or you're just using something that's just ascorbic acid to get your source of vitamin C. Mm. And it is important, because humans are one of the only mammals that don't make their own vitamin C. Everybody else showed up at the meeting and said, we want vitamin C.
Yeah, pigs and hamsters, right? They don't?
Guinea pigs don't, and primates, I think, is what it is. But, yeah, everybody else said, we want to make our own. And we were, like, looking at something else in the corner or something, because we got nothing. So it's important to get in vitamin C. But if you're just taking this fractionated form, like just ascorbic acid, or like an ester C type situation where it's just a fraction of it. What happens is you take that in and your body can't use it as vitamin C unless it pulls all the other cofactors from your body. And after about 2 weeks or so, people usually run out of those cofactors and they're still taking this C that's not really doing anything. So we use the acerola cherries, like you were saying. We use a Empirical Labs product called Bio-C, which is a whole food form of C. There's another one on the market you can get at most Whole Foods from Garden of Life. I think it's called Living C. So there's things available out there, but don't just swing by Costco and get a bucket of vitamin C and think that that's going to fix the problem, because it won't.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's pretty important. And, you know, vitamin C is used in the body for pretty much every single repair process, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy for people to be deficient.
Yeah, especially if your body's in like a high stress state, like if you have really elevated cortisol or estrogen levels or blood sugar and triglyceride damage, you're going to be using up that vitamin C all the time to repair stuff, and pretty soon you're not going to have enough to go around to all your healthy collagen stuff.
Right, and stress is just one thing. I mean, somebody could be drinking tap water and bringing in all the fluoride and chlorine. You know, there's lots of things that could come in the body that vitamin C could be expended to help remove safely. So those are big deals. The collagen stuff, the vitamin C, so that there's building blocks to rebuild. So it kind of helps us understand why some people's layers of skin may be thinner, which cause those dimpling effect to show up more than it might in other people.
Yeah.
Janie from Danville, California. why is it always on the thighs? Well, I think it is most of the time on the thighs, but believe me, I've noticed a little on my arms. I'll call them flaps.
The old English teacher arm.
Yeah, the old English teacher arm, except I'm hopefully not that old yet. But right. How do you get rid of that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think this points even just further at like the fact that it is a matter of just like tissue integrity. Because when you think of it, like, oh, yeah, it does occur on the arms of people. But then you think of like even older guys, like old men, like they've got all sorts of like sagging skin and it's lacking all that density and they're like super thin and frail. That could also look a lot like cellulite if they had just a little more flesh on their bones, you know? So.
But another thing too is that it is most common on thighs, hips, buttocks.
Yeah.
That's the most common area that you're going to see it. And I think that that's also the place where women store fat the most.
To you know, have babies
men,
and
men do more in the gut, you know, kind of area. But that's a favorite spot for women to store fat. So remember that it's the expanding fat cells which is pushing on that skin, causing the dimpling effect. So if you remove the stored fat, you can reduce the amount of dimpling that occurs unless you're dealing with the skinny fat situation, which we should probably just
or
get
if
into
you've
that.
Lost a lot of weight. I mean, that's another thing, like saggy skin from losing a lot of weight. Sometimes it goes away, sometimes it tightens up, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I think saggy skin is a different beast than cellulite. I think that's a...
Yeah, you but know, it kind of looks like cellulite on there. I don't know, maybe it's not.
Maybe one like important connection between the two, whether they're slightly different in the way you're describing the dynamics of like the whole jailhouse scenario versus like saggy skin, is both situations, like whether you're trying to lose a lot of weight and you've got this saggy situation or the cellulite, they both require tissue remodeling of healthy collagen, like to look good, which is the goal for the people that are dealing with either of these issues. So in both cases, we're going to want to do as much as we can to support healthy collagen production of which requires the right proteins and the ability to digest them and the right micronutrients that we need to make healthy cells overall.
Right. You know, I bought this thing on Amazon. I'm scared to use it, but I'm gonna pull it out and I'm gonna use it. It's just a little roller.
Just be prepared to edit. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a little roller and it has little needles all in it, and you roll it on your skin and it makes tiny little abrasions, which causes the collagen and stuff to have more of a production and to heal the skin. And people,
so you're almost like stressing the skin so that it rebuilds.
Yeah, so that it rebuilds and stuff. So with that, because it's supposed to help with like stretch marks, cellulite, saggy skin, loose skin, wrinkles. I mean, it's supposed to pretty much help everything. So I'm going to do my whole body.
You're just going to roll on this pin. You're going to roll on a pinball?
Like covered sores, in blood. You know?
It's like home acupuncture.
Yeah, I mean, and then they're just tiny, tiny little bitty needles. And the thing about it is like you have to really, of course, like soak it in alcohol because then you could get like infections in your skin. Yeah. So that wouldn't be good.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Did you happen to read any of the reviews on Amazon?
And a friend did it, and his skin looked amazing. And he said, well, I'm using this.
Like, all the reviews are just like, call 911.
Yeah, exactly. And you do see people online, because I YouTubed it, where people go insane, and they start, doing it until their skin is just bleeding.
Oh,
but
God.
I wouldn't do it to that level. And I did buy numbing cream, too.
Sweet.
And I plan on drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels when I do.
So to bring some science into this for just a moment, you do see a lot of other people using, like, coffee grounds and scrubbing, the loofah kind of things and stuff like
exfoliating.
That.
Exfoliating.
And I'm fine with that as something that you want to do. But I think the reason that everybody doesn't see success with that is because if you're not fixing what's going on from the inside, you're just irritating the skin and it still doesn't have the ability to rebuild correctly.
Yeah, I think aesthetically it could look better for a moment because of all the inflammation.
Yeah, you get
happy.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Swollen.
I swell off. Yeah, like it's not just like the saggy collagen. Now you have extra edema from puncture wounds. Like, and that I do really think that that's what's happening. You're going to have inflammation. It's going to make it look smoother in this puffy, irritated, damaged way. But when your body heals, hopefully it'll heal.
I'll have more color too.
Yeah,
I'll be really red.
But if you just keep doing it, I guess you could stay inflamed. But I just don't think that's not going to bring health to the area.
Well, if you're, like he was saying, if you're working on everything the inside out and that in conjunction.
I'm fine with you doing that on top of
of everything else.
Right.
Once, do it once.
Yeah, not coming in all bloody.
Scabbed over.
Yeah, so that's kind of the thighs thing. And I know that, you know, women get very upset about this, because let's go to the skinny fat thing a little bit, because women do all this work to lose weight, but then they still have cellulite, so they're like, okay, I'm going to be furious now. So let's talk a little bit about the skinny fat situation.
There's a skinny fat girl on here.
All right.
Should I read her?
Yeah, read her.
Paige from Burleson, Texas. Woohoo and help are my comments. I am that skinny fat person you talk about.
So we do get callers during the show, because she did hear us. That's really great, I guess.
Yeah.
So when we look at this situation, someone can be skinny but still have tissue that is not built correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of been mined away at, kind of stuff, so that they're just kind of gush.
Yeah.
Talk about gush, Will.
Gush. So, yeah, I think, like, we can see this in a sort of, not only, like, in a catabolic person, but like we mentioned earlier, in that person who might be experiencing things like osteoporosis or the process of osteoporosis generating. And what's off a lot of the time in these people's chemistry is the way that their body is making energy is not efficient, and they end up producing a lot more free radical damage that goes along with the dirty way that they're making energy. So along with the calcium that's being pulled into the bloodstream, they're getting a lot of free radical damage and lactic acid accumulation, because their mitochondria, their cells, are not really making energy in a clean, efficient way. And with that, we'll see a lot of like changes in collagen fibers that will start to occur from these, they're called cations. Like if there's excess calcium in the blood, these cations can damage the way and the structure of the collagen and stimulate genes in the collagen to change configuration, actually change shape. And we see that in osteoarthritis and in cataracts that occurs. That kind of free radical damage is known, and there's a lot of studies that show that collagen will actually change shape due to that oxidation damage.
Right, and some people do have the theory of that the bands have just become too taut. Like they don't, you know, because they're supposed to flexible. They're supposed to be flexible, kind of moving about type of stuff.
Yeah.
And some of them don't have that ability. So where the skin used to be able to expand a little bit, is kind of creating some of those dimples. So that's one theory that's out there that could make some sense. But yeah, even if someone doesn't have excess fat pushing the skin out, it's almost like the muscle has atrophied. And all of the connective tissue in there has kind of changed its formation due to its loss of a lot of its structure, its structural compounds. So it kind of goes back to the person needs the resources to make that skin healthy, rebuilt, smooth skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and looking at like the way, not only having the nutrients to build the body, but also to create energy in a clean way is really important for that, because without the cells' ready supply of sufficient energy, not only will they not function right, but they also can't maintain their form as effectively. And we've seen like it takes energy for the cells to maintain their own structure and integrity. So we can see a sort of a collapse and change in the collagen matrix, like the way the collagen's all bound together and the individual cells with the collagen themselves. And part of that can look at like a collapse and failure of energy supply to maintain their form. And then another part of it could be looked at like gene activation change in the collagen to try to configure itself in a way that it can endure the stresses of the situation more, like a callus on your hand. Like there's stress causing the skin to like be abrased, so it'll form a denser like collagen matrix.
Right.
Yeah.
So to get calloused all over your
in
body.
In a way, a little micro callus. You could look at that or like the collapse of the collagen due to energy deficiency.
And the other thing about cellulite is that I could almost guarantee that it's not caused by the exact same situation in each person. It can be a variation of these things from person to person, and that's why some cellulite looks different than other types. So I don't think that there is one answer that's going to fit every single person. Just all of these things are options that could be contributing to it.
Lisa, is there truly a way to get rid of it? Lisa, weren't you listening? We've been talking about collagen.
She must not have just called in.
Yeah, she just called in. Too late.
Yeah, and so what we see a lot is just that once someone has fixed digestion, they start to, oh, I shouldn't eat a Zagnut bar for lunch every day. And they start to put in real food, and now they can break it down and pull real nutrients out of it. That as they do this and they lose weight, that a lot of times the cellulite seems to smooth out quite a bit. And not just from the loss of weight, but it seems like their skin seems to improve. Mm-hmm. And in more ways than just cellulite, especially if you fix bile flow and the body can start to get rid of filth, people really see a lot of improvements with their skin.
Lisa, another Lisa. Oh, wow. Westport, Indiana. I weigh 110 and I always have. I drink plenty of water, but still have cellulite. I'm baffled.
I think maybe by now in the episode, she might have like light shed on this issue.
Because
you want to think of it as like, oh, it's not just fat to lose. It's like healthy cells to build, right?
You know, right, it is. And, you know, one step to take if you're not, it's not the biggest part of the formula, I don't think. But it's such an easy step is to start doing some resistance training where you're triggering the body to build new tissues. So do that along with helping your body bring in the building blocks to build new tissues. And all of a sudden, hey, you got new tissue. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
You did it.
Yeah.
Good job.
So resistance training, maybe making and eating bone broth kind of soups or supplement with collagen.
Yeah, and we'll put our recipe in the show notes, and you can find it by going to kickitinthenuts.com, and you hover over show and shows at the top, and then you can get a few choices, and one of them is episodes or show notes. And so we'll put that in the notes for that recipe, because bone broth is easy. If you have a crock pot, you just toss in a bunch of stuff and it cooks for a day or so.
It really is easy. I stood off it because I thought it was going to be such an ordeal. But once I got a crock pot for Christmas, it's been smooth.
So. Yeah. So, that's an important first step because you don't even need to fix digestion to get those nutrients because it's in liquid form. It's like the cooking did the digestion for you. So it's a great first step to do. I want to get into another thing here that is a theory that I have shared with a few other guys because I really see this a lot with women that are low blood pressure, very high urine pH. And we teach people how to look at their own physiology in our free 4-week course on digestion at kickitinthenuts.com or reading any of our books. But I see this a lot with high urine pH, and they're often dealing with a lot of those symptoms that come from low tissue calcium. So I'll explain this, but can you explain a little bit about why someone gets, Charlie horses and why the calcium would get pulled out of tissues and stay in the bloodstream and stuff like that?
Yeah, so like a Charlie horse is basically a failure of muscle cells to sustain adequate energy to stay relaxed. And we think of that as kind of backwards because we think of like, it takes energy to flex a muscle, right? Yes, it does, but it also takes energy for the muscle not to contract. And that's why we see rigor mortis occur in a dead person when there's no more innervation of
minerals
the cells
to help that out.
Yeah,
right?
They just couldn't lock up super stiff. So that is like happening to a degree within any muscle that's cramping. And we'll see that happen for various energy production problems, but also one of those being a lack of calcium in those cells, which is required to help maintain that proper ability to contract or relax. And we'll see calcium get pulled out of tissues by a few common culprits, like sugars, as well as vitamin D.
Right. So what happens is when sugar comes in, calcium likes to follow sugar. So it'll leave the tissue, and then it'll go into the bloodstream where the sugar is and hang out there and have a good time. So when someone has a lot of calcium in their bloodstream, they tend to see a higher urine pH because the body is trying to pee out some of that calcium. It can't deal with all that calcium floating around in the bloodstream. And vitamin D does the same thing. Like, vitamin D is very important. We need it to pull calcium out of the intestinal tract into the bloodstream. It's absolutely necessary. But when people take it at the insane doses that doctors are telling people to take it now, it pulls calcium not out of, only out of the intestinal tract, but it pulls it out of all the tissues too. And it's like a magnet, and it holds the calcium in the blood like that. So there's a couple reasons why that's important to what we're talking about here. What are we talking about?
Totally forgot.
Cellulite.
Right. There's reasons it's important when we're talking about cellulite. So this is the theory that I feel is a big player for some people. And it appears that, well, there was, when I was looking for stuff on this, I found that there was a study done in 2001 by Shai et al., I think, that researchers discovered that when there was high active D in the bloodstream, that it opens this calcium channel and calcium will pour into fat cells. And I had some other guys that were like, you know, we feel like this cellulite issue is calcium in the fat cells. So I had heard this probably 4 or 5 years ago. And so I pay attention to it when I have clients that complain about cellulite. And their numbers almost always correspond with that, to where they have all of this excess calcium floating around. And when I'm looking at this study that they did, their solution to that was that vitamin D went high when calcium levels were low. And to us, that makes sense because the body's just trying to pull in more calcium, so it absorbs more vitamin D and makes it more active. Because we also see that when someone has very high sugar, blood sugar, that vitamin D is almost always very low. And the medical world has really screwed this up because they look at people that have heart disease and high blood sugar, and vitamin D is always low. So they're like, oh, well, you just need to have more vitamin D, and then you won't have cardiovascular disease or diabetes. So we're going to cram vitamin D in you. But the reality is that since all the sugar was pulling all the calcium out of the tissues and holding it in the blood, that the body has reduced the amount of vitamin D that's going on so that it doesn't pull even more in. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we see happening. And this makes sense when we look at this study, because their solution was just add more calcium into your diet, and then vitamin D levels will come down, and you won't be pouring all this calcium into fat cells and expanding those fat cells. But I think that we view it more as, you know, don't have so much calcium in the blood, and then you won't have this issue.
Right. And I think I've known some people like mistakenly think that what they need to do is stop eating calcium if that's happening. And that's not what we're saying.
Right.
You're going to see your blood calcium levels go up if you do that, because your body needs some calcium in the blood for a lot of different
things. It's really functions. Important for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So don't just stop. If you have like hypercalcemia in the blood, like your numbers are going to get worse if you stop eating calcium. So things like cheese and eggs and even like boiled eggshells.
I've never done that one.
Yeah. Rapey, like talking about boiling eggshells, let them dry and then put them in a coffee grinder, and it makes calcium carbonate, which is, I guess, the kind of calcium that you want to be.
I'm going
to
stop trying to get them out of my scrambled in the morning. Right. I'm just going to leave them there.
Just crunch away. Yeah. But anyway, like I think just to reemphasize what you're saying is, like, the point is to try to like minimize the things that are pulling calcium out of the tissues, because you want calcium in your diet, but you don't want your tissues deplete of calcium. So things like sugar and excess vitamin D supplementation create that problem, which creates, like you said, the excess calcium in the fat cells. But we also see that in degraded collagen, like in cataracts, like very high calcium levels in those tissues. So when we look at cellulite, there's an intimate tie between both the fat and the collagen degradation.
Right. So let's do this now. Let's make this in plain English for people that we really annoyed today. So here's the perfect formula, and I see this a lot. So I'm not saying everybody that's in this situation is going to have cellulite, but this just seems to be the perfect formula, is for someone to have poor digestion, so that they're not able to fully break down proteins into amino acids, into rebuilding blocks. They're not eating foods that contain enough collagen so that they can use that to rebuild. There's a lack of vitamin C going on. And because there's a lack of digestion, they have likely gravitated towards consuming more carbohydrates than proteins, because proteins are harder to digest and carbohydrates are very easy. So we see a lot where someone would just gravitate towards just eating a bunch of carbs. And of course, that's going to create weight gain from the high insulin levels. And all of those carbohydrates are going to pull calcium out of the tissue. There's going to be excess calcium floating around. So not only will they be peeing out that calcium and see the higher urine pH, but the body's going to be like, what else can I do with all this calcium? Hey, I'm going to shove it in fat cells. Here's some cellulite for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they might also be told like, oh, you're low on vitamin D because of this whole issue. So then they take more vitamin D and then it pulls more calcium.
And it kind of magnifies all
Yeah.
that.
Which also, like, those calcium-rich tissues cause more fluid retention in general, like not just in the fat cells, but like in the interstitial space, so you'll see more inflammation and fluid retention because of that high intracellular pH.
Right. So that's, and it's an easy thing for you to do. Now, you can just check your urine pH. It's very simple. And you can also look at, okay, you know, if you have a herpes virus, do you get cold sores a lot? Do you get Charlie horse type cramps? Do you catch a flu? Like if somebody calls you and they're sick, do you get sick? Those are all signs of having low tissue calcium. A lot of menstrual cramps are really bad. You know, those are all signs. So if that's a situation for you, then you should take steps to reduce the amount of carbs that you're eating, which means you're probably going to have to fix digestion or you won't be able to gravitate towards more protein, more fat, and less carbs. Mm-hmm. And you can also take steps to push calcium down into the tissues. Like what, Will Schmidt?
Well, you could use certain amino acids, like lysine would be a good call. We've used fatty acids for that before, also like having it with freshly ground flaxseed or olive oil cold pressed.
Or even eating more salmon would help too, yeah, something like that.
If you're too anabolic, so you'll want to confirm that that's the case. Because if you're too catabolic, which could be another contributing factor, then that step would be a bad idea.
Right.
Because those fatty acids would push you further into a catabolic state. So the use of fatty acids would be useful if your urine pH is really high and you go through the digestive issues course and find out, hey, I'm way too anabolic. So you gotta know that first before you try to use that tactic. But safe bets would be like have bone broth soups, supplement with collagen, a whole food source of vitamin C. Those would be good kind of regardless.
And the good news for you is, let's say, for example, that you understood anything we said today.
Okay.
Just in case you did.
Hypothetical.
Then it kind of makes sense. Oh, I don't have cellulite because my mom had it. You know, which genetics can be a factor, but you can see that you can take steps to overcome the way that your genes are expressing themselves right now. So the good news is that no matter what situation is causing cellulite for you, there's steps that you can take to improve the situation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have one last question, and this is actually off point. It's an Ask Tony question from Tony's blog post. And it's Denise from Texas. Hi, Tony. I'm reading your book, Done With Being Fat. I'm starting chapter 7, and I want to lose about 20 pounds. I'm a vegetarian that lives off carbs. What should I do? I don't eat any seafood, and now I'm leaving eggs alone because of the gases. Help.
So I think the first thing that
Stop
you want to do is just don't do that. Next question.
Okay, go on.
Surely you heard earlier in the show when we talked about being vegetarian, and you'll first need to look at why are you being a vegetarian. Are you doing it because you think that's the healthiest choice? And if it is, then you've probably finished reading the book by now and got to the part where I really slammed the vegetarian stuff. Yeah. So hopefully that helped shed some light. Also, just so people know, the book Done With Being Fat is pretty much the same book as Kick Your Fat in the Nuts. So you don't need to run out and read that if you've already read Kick Your Fat in the Nuts. We just made another version for the doctors and nutrition people that learn from us so that they can hand a book to their clients without saying, here, read Kick Your Fat in the Nuts.
Right.
So that's what that is anyways. But with if eggs are giving you a lot of gas, then you're not digesting eggs well. And eggs are pretty much the easiest animal protein to break down. So that will give you some indication that
you don't digestion. Have stomach acid, maybe.
What?
Because stomach acid is breaks down proteins and bile right, so flow is fat. So
yeah,
and they both need to be there to fully digest food. And that's one thing that I see a lot with people that are trying to deal with these issues that come from a lack of digestion is that they're not using enough HCL when they go to try and implement it. You know, let's say, well, I mean, I'm using HCL and it's not, I'm still not digesting well. And when I ask, what are they using? They say, well, I'm using one capsule. And the reality is that most humans make the equivalent to about five, maybe a little bit more capsules of 550 milligram HCL. So if you're using one capsule, and let's say that you have loaded with bacteria in your stomach, which most people who have poor digestion do, if you're lacking stomach acid, you have bacteria in your stomach because it has come in on the food that you eat and set up camp. So the waste from the bacteria is very alkaline. So now this acid is even less effective. So if you're using one, it's probably like you're using negative one if you're filled with bacteria. So most people that I see that are trying to improve digestion, once they move up to five, the full dose of HCL like we teach in the free digestion course and in all of our books, once they move up to that, then they start to see results. And it sounds like Denise could probably fix digestion. And then if it was not against her beliefs, she could then try to implement some animal protein and she would be able to digest it better.
Yeah, and you're not really going to succeed until that happens unless you just starve yourself. And
right, you're just going off willpower, and willpower is never as good as we want it to be.
Yeah.
Because the body is screaming, hey, I'm not getting what I need. You're going to have to put something.
Unless you will and you have power.
Right. She's got to focus on fixing your digestion so you can eat eggs and then reduce your carb intake in that order.
Right, and if your goal is weight loss, the digestion becomes even more important because a lot of that undigested food is just turning into toxic junk that, and some junk can get stored in fat cells and make it harder to lose weight. So it's really a priority, and so make sure you take those steps.
All right. So today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com, or you can head on over to Will Schmidt's page, mybodyofknowledge.net, and he's got lots of great ideas and blogs and exercises and all kinds of fun stuff on there.
And for those of you who are always telling us that they really love this information and they're kind of like they want to be a coach, the coach course is coming
awesome. Pretty
close. It's really, we've done so much. I want to take it.
Yeah.
It's like really awesome.
It's so good.
So that's coming pretty soon. So
and the protein powder.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming. That's coming. Shipping this week.
And the cookbook.
We didn't even talk about the protein powder, which we put collagen in it for this very purpose.
Yeah, I was so excited about it. And vitamin C.
Right. So that's going to be your decellulator.
Oh, my God.
Man, oh, you should have put that in the title. That'd sell like hotcakes.
That would have sold. I could have just called it the decellulator.
Kick your cellulite in the nuts.
Yeah. Stay tuned for that. If you're not signed up for our newsletter, make sure that you're signed up. Because when the coach course opens, we're only going to be able to take registrations for short periods at a time when we do it openly. So make sure that you're tuned in so you know what's up.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.